Right. Good afternoon. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is about 1:30 on Wednesday, September 1st at 1:30 p.m. I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Also present with me are my colleagues Randy Christman and Brian Crosius, so we have a quorum. In terms of opening comments, I don't have any. I will pass it over to Randy.
I'll pass too, since we have an informal coming up, and just to save time.
Absolutely.
No comments.
All right. Short-winded this morning. All right. We have a couple items on the consent in the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Is there anything on consent?
Isn't there?
Yeah.
The minutes, but I think it's just the minutes.
Okay.
That's what you meant, right?
That's what I meant.
Second.
You're good at reading my mind.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. Moving on to the regular agenda. Let's see. Pull that out. I'm going to move JF1 back to scheduling. There's a conflict on this date with my calendar, and so we'll talk about it in scheduling, and then in the admin portion of the meeting, hopefully take this back up again. All right, without objection. Then moving on to JF2. I move the commission adopt the order on tree and shrub mitigation specifications in Senex Pipeline LLC 10-inch refined fuels pipeline Williams Montreal Ward siting application case number PU-17-97.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. This is a case kind of similar to the last one. We'll probably see a few of these where the company has asked to adopt the new tree and shrub mitigation rules, a plan under the new rules, and so staff has worked through with the company on that process, and they've agreed to follow it, and so this just brings them up into compliance with that new tree and shrub mitigation specifications.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. Next, I move the commission adopt the order in Great River Energy / Rainbow Energy Center LLC transfer certificate number 1 and permit number 3 citing application case number PU-21-325.
Second.
All right, this is the transfer of our very first certificate and permit, third permit, that was ever issued on the by the commission. And this is for a transmission line that was constructed way back in the 70s. Basically, the transfer has, the staff has evaluated this. There was a notice of opportunity for hearing. None have been requested. Basically, the company has agreed to assume the rights and obligations of GRE with respect to the certificate of quarter and the route permit, and agrees to comply with the conditions and limitations set forth in the original commission's March 6th of 1976 finding of facts, conclusions of law, and order on this issue, and additional one in 1977. And therefore, they've met the conditions under state law for this transfer.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Because the numbers are interesting, you know, with certificate 1 and things like that from when the siting started, in a discussion with one of our staff members, it seemed confusing to me why, you know, certificate number 1 doesn't follow with permit number 1 and such as that. And so I just tried to lay it out a little, and I don't know if anyone else found that interesting, but in case they do, I thought I'd kind of explain a little bit. And So and in those days, the certificate was done, and then later the permit was done as a separate action. And so they apparently applied for these at the same time, or about the same time, because the orders for the certificates were both done on March 6th of 76. And then the certificate was issued a month later on April 8th of 76. And it just so happened that the water line got certificate one and the power line two. And then I don't know if there was a delay in the commission or a delay by the company with doing the work behind it, but for whatever reason, the power line got a PSC order for the permit in December yet of that year in 76, and then it was issued in February of 77, and the water line, the order for the permit was later in June of 77, and the permit was issued that day. And thus, the first one ended up with the first certificate ended up with permit three, while the second certificate ended up with cherished permit number one. So, I thought it was interesting that others might have the same intrigue on those numbers.
Thank you. I appreciate that insight. I was bothered by it, but just thought, well, that's the way it worked out. And that's as far as I went.
Can't accept coincidences.
Glad to see that your curiosity and your reputation as a resident historian continues.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And the confusion continues on the route permits and the certificates, both in this case and all others, because they never do have the same numbers, even though we do them at the same time now.
Yeah.
So who knows? Something to ask Pat. All right, make sure I'm on the next one. So I'm on JF4, correct, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. I move the commission adopt the order in Great River Energy / Nexus Line LLC transfer certificate number 2 and permit number 1, citing application case number PU-21-326.
Second.
Excellent. And this is the other certificate transfer. This is for the transmission line that is going to be transferred from the GRE to Nexus Line LLC, the company that's going to be owning that transmission line. Again, Nexus Line LLC states that Nexus Line agrees to assume the rights and obligations of GRE with respect to certificate of corridor compatibility number 2 and route permit number 1, agrees to comply with the conditions and limitations set forth in the Commission's March 6th findings of facts of 1976, findings of facts, conclusions of law and order, in case number 2, and the conditions and limitations set forth in the route permit number 1 in case number 9370 that was issued in December 17th of 1977. So with that, the commission has determined that this is compatible with public interests and is prepared to, I'm prepared to support this transfer.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I will say I'm also anxious to support this. And so on the last one, I mentioned my intrigue over the early numbering. Now I just want to say I'm equally intrigued and excited about the future of this infrastructure. It is an exciting day for North Dakota to see new operators accepting the responsibilities that go with these permits and with new plans of moving forward for the long-term future. It's, I think, really an exciting moment for the state of North Dakota.
I would weigh in on this one, too. So I was just in Medora speaking to an event that Attorney General Stenjum had with attorneys general from throughout the western part of the country. And it was an energy summit, and I was on a panel with John Haru from the EERC, and I talked about wind, North Dakota's approach to wind energy and renewable energy permitting and development, and he talked about carbon capture and storage. And I really felt like in tandem, those two things represent sort of North Dakota's approach to real all-of-above energy development. And this is a project that further proves North Dakota's commitment to that. It's taken leaders at every level, from all the way down to the local level, all the way up to our delegation in Washington, D.C., to be committed to this, to believe that it can happen, that North Dakota can be a leader and will be a leader in it. And I think it's going to be proved to be instrumental, not just for our state and this region, but for the entire country, and quite honestly, for the whole world. Because if we want solutions to global warming, it can't be done just with renewable energy development. We have got to figure out carbon capture and storage. There are just far too many different uses for that are contributing to CO2 emissions than electricity generation. And so this is a project that will help long-term, I think, to prove that technology, make it viable, that is going to lead to its use in other types of industry, and ultimately to long-term solutions to this global challenge. So I'm really, really proud of North Dakota's leadership on this issue and our determination to not just capitulate to what everybody else is doing and what everybody else thinks is possible or isn't possible, but to forge our own way and to put resources into this very important new initiative. And the biggest kudos goes to the company, who's really taking the leadership role in that. But I think there have been plenty of other leaders, our governor and delegation included, who have helped provide various policy incentives along the way to help make that feasible. And so I think that it's going to be really exciting long term for our state.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, thank you. That concludes my portfolio. It's over to you, Randy.
Okay, I move the commission approve revision number 11 to surface coal mining permit NACC-1302 held by Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, to mine the federal coal located in the southwest quarter of Section 24 and the southeast quarter of Section 26, and the private coal located in the southeast quarter of Section 23 of the permit, and update other information, mining and reclamation plans in the permit, in Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, revision number 11, permit NACC-1302, application PSC case number RC-21-45.
Second.
On January 25th of this year, Coyote Creek filed the application for revision 11 to mine 320 acres of federal coal, as well as the 160 acres of private coal. All the tracts were previously incorporated into the permit with the original application that was approved by us on October 22nd of 2014. The permit revision provides updated surface water management and other mining and reclamation plans for the tracts to be mined. The permit acreage will remain unchanged at 8,443.6 acres. There are several federal coal tracts that were included in the original permit application, but no mining of those tracts was proposed at the time. The surface of the federal coal tracts is privately owned, and Coyote Creek has secured the necessary surface leases for those tracts of land. Coyote Creek has also secured the surface and the coal lease of the private coal tract. So mining is expected to occur in the federal coal tracts between 2021 and 2035, and in the private coal tract between 2027 and 2029. Coyote Creek is requesting an extension to previously approved variances from the contemporaneous reclamation requirements. These requests have been adequately justified, and the Reclamation Division recommends the variances be approved, as do I. There's a special condition number 3 to permit NACC-1302 that prohibits overburden and coal removal on federal coal tracts until the mining plan is approved by the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Interior. We will be now submitting, if this is approved, the required federal lands decision documents to the OSM for the processes on the mine plan approval action. Mine plan approval from the OSM for these tracks is expected in the very near future. Now we have the lease, and then we can submit that paperwork. Coyote Creek submitted affidavits of publication of the required newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, the permit area landowners, and advisory committee members of the revision application. We received no requests for informal conferences on the revision application. However, major landowners, one couple, submitted a letter on June 21st through their attorney summarizing the lease history of their property with North American Coal and their continuing reclamation and dust generation concerns at the mine. However, they did not request a hearing or any action from the commission. No bond adjustment is required. The existing performance bond in the amount of $23,300,000 is sufficient for the proposed operations and permit in this permit area. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends that it be approved. I do as well. And I just want to emphasize that it probably seems odd why that private tract was withheld. I mean, obviously the federal tract because they were waiting on the lease and now for the mine plan approval. The private tract sort of falls between them, and so it was never included in the original mine plan because unless they got all the federal approvals, they just weren't going to mine that. And so now it will be.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order certifying use of Federal Universal Services Support, Public Service Commission, USF Use Certification 47 CFR 54.314, 2022, compliance case number PU-21-216.
Second.
So the Telecommunications Act of 1996 requires that telecommunications carriers use universal service support only for the provision, maintenance, and upgrading of facilities and services for which support is intended. States that desire eligible telcos to telecommunications carriers to receive support pursuant to the high-cost program must file an annual certification with the USAC administrator, that's the Universal Service Administrative Company, and the FCC, stating that all federal high-cost support provided to such carriers within that state was used in both the preceding calendar year and will be used in the coming calendar year only for the provision, maintenance, and upgrading of facilities and services for which the support is intended. And that has to be done no later than October 1st of each year. In their 1996 order, the FCC recognized that some states have only limited regulatory oversight, and like us, and that such states may nonetheless certify to the FCC that the support will be used as required. In 2002, this commission issued an order indicated that any carrier that desires to have certification to the FCC should file an affidavit certifying that the federal support they receive is used appropriately, and that commission order in 2002 stated that the affidavits filed by the telecommunications companies will be the basis of the PSC's certification to the FCC. So affidavits regarding use of federal universal service support were filed by 40 companies this year. They're mentioned in the ordering clause. Unless someone asks, I won't read them all off. Otherwise, I will. This motion authorizes staff to certify to the FCC on behalf of those 40 companies that they are using it appropriately.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Randy.
Brian.
All right, my first motion. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission Pennington Fencing Damage Prevention Enforcement case number PU-20-449.
Second.
On November 19th of 2020, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Belfouche Pipeline Company alleging a violation by Pennington Fencing of North Dakota Century Code One Call Excavation Notice System. The commission did send a letter to Pennington. They did respond to the complaint. And then on August 17th of 2021, a consent agreement between Public Service Commission advocacy staff and Pennington was filed for the resolution of the complaint. Pennington Fencing is located, has a headquarters in Sydney, Montana. And this stems from an excavation that they began this past November, last November, while performing a fence installation in McKenzie County. The excavation took place prior to the work to begin date on the ticket. So tickets have a date in terms of when the work is anticipated to begin. They cannot start excavation before that, but in this case they did. Pennington violated North Dakota Century Code by failing to provide an excavation or location notice before beginning any excavation. So even though they had submitted a notice for a ticket, it's not considered a ticket until you actually get to the date described. So again, I've mentioned this before, that except in an emergency, an excavator shall contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning any excavation, and that's according to North Dakota Century Code. Pennington and advocacy staff did engage in good faith settlement discussions, and under the consent agreement that they came up with, Pennington agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $500, with $250 suspended on condition that they commit no further violation of the North Dakota One Call law within 5 years of the date of an order accepting the consent agreement. Pennington will make the $250 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of service of an order accepting the consent agreement, which we will be voting on shortly, and I support this motion and order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, next I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission Austin Broden Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-21-56.
Second.
This stems from a North Dakota One Call complaint that came from CHS Incorporated on January 28th, 2021, alleging a violation by Austin Broden of North Dakota Century Call Code One Call Excavation Notice System. The commission did send a letter to Broden, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I apologize if I'm not. But Broden did respond to the complaint. Mr. Broden did. And on August 9th of 2021, a consent agreement between Public Service Commission advocacy staff and Austin Broden was filed for resolution of the complaint. The address for Austin Broden, where he is located, is in Gary, Minnesota. And this stems from an excavation that began on December 9th of 2020. Mr. Broden began the excavation as defined in North Dakota Century Code while performing a drain tile installation near Fargo, North Dakota. There's no evidence of Broden contacting the North Dakota One Call Notification Center prior to beginning the excavation. No damage resulted from this excavation, and no customers were subsequently affected by this particular incident. The complaint alleges that Broden violated North Dakota Century Code by failing to provide an excavation or location notice before beginning the excavation, and again, except in an emergency, an excavator shall contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning any excavation. Mr. Broden and advocacy staff engaged in good faith settlement discussions, which did result in a consent agreement, which is as follows. Broden agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $500 with $250 suspended on the condition that he commit no further violation of the North Dakota One Call law within 5 years of the date of an order accepting the consent agreement. And I will support this motion as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, then I'm going to move past BK3. That was withdrawn. We have that on scheduling. Where do we start? Do we start with that one on admin discussion? Well, it's been moved to the admin portion of the meeting. So we'll move past that into BK4. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement to Public Service Commission, JMAC Resources Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-21-302.
Second.
On July 1st of 2021, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Montana Dakota Utilities, alleging a violation by JMAC Resources Incorporated of North Dakota Century Code, again, the one-call excavation notice system. The commission did send a letter to JMAC. JMAC responded accordingly, and on August 16th, 2021, a consent agreement between commission staff and JMAC was filed for resolution of the complaint. JMAC Resources is a corporation, a domestic corporation, with headquarters and address in Wenatchee, Washington. And this stems from going back to June 1st of this year, 2021, JMAC personnel provided an excavation notice with work to begin on June 4th of 2021. On June 18th, JMAC did begin the excavation, and they were excavating for a sign base in Williston. And as a result of the excavation, $900 of damage worth of damage was caused to MDU's 1.25-inch plastic natural gas service line, and one customer was affected. The complaint alleges that JMAC violated North Dakota Century Code by failing to conduct the excavation in a careful and prudent manner. And North Dakota Century Code does provide that to avoid damage and to minimize interference, a ticket holder shall conduct the excavation in a careful and prudent manner. Having investigated the alleged violation, advocacy staff believes that JMAC did violate North Dakota Century Code. They engaged in good faith settlement discussions. Advocacy staff did with JMAC, and under the consent agreement, JMAC agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $1,500 with $500 suspended on the condition that JMAC commits no further violation of the North Dakota One Call Law within 5 years of the date of an order accepting the consent agreement. JMAC, if this order is approved, will make $1,000 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of service of an order accepting the consent agreement. And I would like to point out tip my hat to staff. When I started reading this particular order and the details of it, I did say that this was on July 1st of 2021 that the complaint came in. And this, again, is from an incident that occurred just this past June. So hats off to staff for really moving quickly on this. And as I've discussed in the previous commission meetings, they're really doing a lot of work in this particular arena. We had a little bit of catch up due to COVID and just some things that happened and whatnot, but they're really doing a good job working through these in a thorough manner. And I would just like to say thank you for the work that they're doing, because it does make a big difference.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, just a couple of announcements. We have an informal this afternoon to talk about an application for the super large service agreement rates. And then this month we have another formal hearing, this one on later on September 22nd, on some rules proposals. and an NSP advance prudence on some wind projects. And then more NSP wind ADPs in early October as well. So the calendar continues to be fairly full. With that, we will adjourn for any questions, and then we'll come back for the admin. We can